Hello, Randy.
Hi, Mr. Branson. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good to hear you.
Am I calling you?
Joe just called me and said that I should call you.
Yeah. Well, I reviewed that memorandum that Kennedy put in the file on Pennsylvania, and it seemed it had a good deal of appeal to me because first I probably thought that way, and second, I don't know how many government agencies a fellow has to get cleaned up with before he finally gets out where he can operate. And I felt that that was a pretty strong implication that not only did the Attorney General Kennedy feel that if it were if the decision was reached that they could merge, but that Katzenbach reaffirmed it and said that is his view too. They all knew it was mine. Now, they did the ball dead bounce their way, and now for us to go back in and keep on fighting it, it looked like to me it was not just quite cricket, and I told them that that was my judgment in the matter. Now, what they tell me that you feel rather strongly the other way.
Well, the situation roughly, as I see it, that was, of course, Bob Kennedy's last day in office. He was going to New York to run for the Senate. And that became the New Haven was involved in that, and I think that was what was behind it. However, that was September 3rd, September 4th, 1964. Now, since then, and consistently, we have opposed in the Interstate Commerce Commission the merger. The last time that the so-called interagency committee met to consider it was September of 1965, and they unanimously approved our continued opposition to the merger. Our last formal presentation in opposition to the merger was September of 1966, when an oral argument before the Interstate Commerce Commission we made filed the same brief we had filed originally in opposition on the merits. And then we argued against the merger. But then since then, now that was 2 or 3 months ago, September. Since then, the picture has changed entirely. And the question today is not whether the merger is harmful or helpful, but it's whether the procedure that has been followed, that is before the Supreme Court, is legally supportable as being in the public interest. And the problem in connection with the procedure is twofold, neither of which has to do with Penn Central merger itself. The first problem is whether the three railroads, one the Lackawanna, which is just about twice as big, New Haven, two the Boston and Maine, and third the Delaware, are to be provided for so that they will not be destroyed as a result of this merger. Because Penn and Central will probably cut deeply into their route traffic. And at the present time, there is in contention for the ICC question of whether these three railroads will be merged into the Norfolk and Western. Now, if they are not provided for, it would be our fear that they would fail, that they would be a much more serious problem than New Haven by itself, and that any intelligent treatment of the problem requires you to be sure before you permit a merger that can't be undone.
Well, who's permitting mergers, Justice or Interstate?
Well, the Justice, the United States is a statutory party in the Supreme Court. It's the biggest merger in the history of the United States. And we have, under the statute, an obligation to present our views on the law to the Supreme Court. our responsibility is to represent the public interest in the court. Failure.
Well, who determines what the public interest is, though? I thought the government, in effect, said that we have felt it was against the public interest for the merger to occur. We've argued our position for the appropriate authority. If they decide against us, we'll be bound by it. Now, they did decide against us. Our own agency of government. We say, well, we want to take another outlet and try to find somebody that'll rule with us somewhere. That seems to me like it. The Interstate Commerce Commission is charged with the law of determining whether it's in public interest to merge or not, and they determined that it was. And we agreed beforehand by memorandum by the Attorney General Kennedy that we would abide by that decision. It went against us, so we're not really complying with what we agreed in the memorandum, both Kennedy and Katzenbach. That's the way it looks to me.
Well, that's not really the way it is. The first thing I did when this thing came to my attention was asked Nick whether it was an agreement. He said no, it was not. And the reasons are fourfold. First, that memo itself says that I do not purport to bind my successor, which I couldn't do anyway. Second, it says that
I sure agree with that. You wouldn't bind your wife either, but if you agreed to pay me some money and drop dead, I imagine she'd go through with it. And I don't think it, I think he made it clear that he couldn't bind all of his successors ad infinitum, but he also made it clear that that was his judgment, that was the feeling of the Justice Department as expressed by him at that time, and Katzenbach made it clear that it was his opinion too, didn't he? Doesn't he feel now that that we really told him that we wouldn't proceed if they wanted the Interstate Commerce Commission?
He feels that we have to appear in the Supreme Court and that we are not in conflict with any agreement or understanding that we have made. The other reasons are that the memo says, that Bob Kennedy says, that unless circumstances have materially changed. Now, they have materially changed, and he would be the first to claim it if we based it on his agreement. He would say, oh, but that's not so. I said if conditions have changed, and I think this is a bad mistake. The railroad's been making money for 3 years now, big money, and I would never have approved under these circumstances because conditions have changed. The third thing is that what it said was that if the hearing examiner recommends the merger, we will not oppose the merger further. And he would recommend we not oppose the merger further. Now, the hearing examiner made his decision months and months ago, and we have consistently opposed the merger before the commission, the very next procedural step. So you really can't get back to the 64 agreement because have a long history of conduct that contradicts it. And that is our activity after the report of the hearing examiner and before the commission. But I think the overriding thing is that this is the biggest merger in the history of the United States. It affects transportation, a vital part of today. We're in a time where we can see that it is probably a growth industry. And the two members of the merger are making money and have been for the first time in some time and have made more money each year for 3 consecutive years. So the conditions up there have changed. But the merger has not provided to these 3 little railroads. And if anything happens to them as a result of this merger, fall right on us. The 3 of them combined are a much greater problem than New Haven.
Well, hadn't the Interstate Commerce Commission, isn't it qualified to consider those things, and didn't it?
No, it has them under consideration now.
I thought the commission had upheld the merger.
Oh, it's upheld this merger, but those three little railroads, I say both one of them's got...
Well, I say the public interest involved in the merger has been passed upon. It seems to me by an agency of the government that's duly authorized to do so.
Well, what we want to say is that we have no responsibility. It's all up to
I'm about to get to thinking that way. After you do what you did in the Houston case and what you do here, I'm just beginning to think that we ought to call y'all when we want you to file some and otherwise tell you to stay at your goddamn desk until you're employed to do it. I don't think you just ought to be usurping and passing on the judgments of finance, business, and every other thing with some professor. I don't know what the hell he's doing, I'm afraid, and trying to override be the king of the government. And that's the way it appears to me.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't have any desire to be anything like that, sir. I just have to call it like I see it in the limits of my life, and that this comes up...
Well, we all have to do that. That's what I'm trying to do, too. In this case, I'm not as close to it, and it's awfully hard to read one memo and get the whole picture. No other human being has talked to me about this that I even remember since this memo was written. As a matter of fact, I didn't know the memo was written until they read it to me today. But it seems to me like that the government has really adjudicated the thing and merged it, just like the... frequently happens, and then the lawyers over there decide to go in and sue. I just wonder why it's not in the public interest to assume that the Interstate Commerce Commission knows as much about the effect of the merger and the wisdom of the merger and the economics of the merger as some damn Harvard professor.
First, we're not attacking the merger. And second, the law just always provided...
Well, you're not helping it any by this action, are you?
No, we're sure not.
And you know what, I make my point, don't I? Am I clear? You see, you understand my viewpoint, don't you?
I think so.
Well, that's what troubles me. I don't like for anybody to make a statement, the United States government, that you go and try your case. And if you win your case, it's okay, I won't harass you anymore. And they go try their case, and they do win it, and then, my God, we jump up there and say, well, that's all right, we knocked you over here at the Interstate Commerce Commission, but we're going to go on into the Supreme Court and try to beat you there. Now, that's the way it looks to me, just as a layman. I'm not a lawyer. But I do have some sense of justice, and I do think that if that is your memorandum, I'd take the same position, even stronger probably. But it seems to me that Kennedy took that position, and whether it was the day he went to New York or the day after he went to New York, I don't think, or how old he was or how much or how big a hair he had. He wrote it down speaking for his Attorney General of the United States. Then Katzenbach says, I send it to you, and I reiterate it, and I'm the Attorney General now. And I believe the same thing. Now, of course, a new Attorney General always has a right to change it, but they haven't got a new president. And it seems to me I have some obligation to try to stabilize what we say and make our word good, and that looks like it is. And besides, I think that the mergers are probably in this field that are very much to be desired anyway.
I think 10 years ago everybody thought that, but now it looks like this might be a real throat.
Well, but I wonder if Interstate Commerce isn't a little better equipped to do that than some of our people.
Well, I think most I can say again is that we don't help the merger. We do not conflict with the agreement. If we conflicted with the agreement, we've done that much more grievously over the last year. But after the year,
probably have. I would think you have if you've been fighting it after the hearing examiner recommended it.
Well,
But I didn't know. But I didn't know.